Good afternoon. As Paul said, I'm with the Wisconsin Well Woman Program, which is Wisconsin's component, Wisconsin State component of the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program. The National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program was established as a result of the Breast and Cervical Cancer Mortality Prevention Act of 1990. And basically, this legislation authorized CDC to provide breast and cervical cancer screening services to underserved, low-income, older women. The other thing that the legislation enabled us to do was to help improve access to early detection screening for breast and cervical cancers for underserved women.
Not working.
No.
I'll try.
Okay. For the most part, when we talk about low-income women, we're talking about women who are at or below 250% of the federal poverty guidelines. We're also talking about women who are uninsured, and if my memory serves me correctly, most women who come through the program are uninsured, but there are a lot of women who are underinsured. They may have insurance that does not cover the preventive health services that we're providing through the program. And you can see what the screening services are that we provide, of course, mammograms, pap tests, and also women who come through the program also are able to have referrals to treatment resources if there is a diagnosis of breast or cervical cancer. For the 20 years that the program has been in existence, more than 3.7 million women have been served by the program. And this means basically that 9.2 million screening exams have been provided. The program has diagnosed almost 2,600 invasive cervical cancers and almost 45,000 breast cancers in the 20-year history of the program. To kind of put this into perspective, if we look at the 2009 program year, we see that there were almost 325,000 women who were screened for breast cancer through the program, and about almost 4,700 breast cancers were identified. And then we know that about 320,000 women were screened for cervical cancer, and almost 4,700 cervical cancers and high-grade precancerous lesions were identified. In terms of the impact of the screening program, if we take a look at the number of women who are actually eligible for the program in the country, we see that about 14.3% of the women who are actually eligible for the program in the 40 to 64 age group received breast cancer screening. We see that 8.7% of the eligible women ages 18 through 64 actually received cervical cancer screening through the program. In terms of the infrastructure of the program, in fact, the national program is made up of 68 unique programs, and those unique programs include 50 states, the District of Columbia, 12 tribal organizations, and the 5 U.S. territories. We all say that the national program is a screening program, and obviously screening is the focus of the program. It's the probably most important program component. However, in addition to screening, there are other program components. Those include follow-up and referral, which also includes case management. And what that is every woman who is screened through the program, we have to know the outcome of that screening. If, in fact, that screening was abnormal, we have to know that we have to refer that woman on for diagnostic services. If, in fact, the woman is identified with a cancer or diagnosed with a cancer, we have to get her into treatment. Other program components include public information or public education. With public information and public education, what we're able to do is to let folks know what the program is all about. This is one of the ways that we get women into the program. This is one of the ways that we let women know this program is available through public information and public education. We work with health professionals and health professional education and training or professional development. One of the good things about having the infrastructure that we do is we have a lot of providers who work with us. In Wisconsin alone, we have over 950 provider sites spread over 72 counties. So we work with providers and collaborate with our providers and other program partners to provide professional development and health professional education and training. Quality assurance and monitoring. Quality assurance is important because not only do we want women to get screened, we want them to get high quality appropriate screening. Surveillance and evaluation, including data management. We have to keep demographic and clinical information or clinical data on every woman that comes through the program. Cancer screening and access to coverage is just one of many challenges. Other challenges include financial barriers. Again, a woman may be, or people may be insured or uninsured. Some folks who have insurance will have high deductibles and high co-payments. One of the things that we are looking to do, especially with the Affordable Care Act, is to increase program and clinic efficiencies and to leverage existing resources to do more. The Affordable Care Act, of course, covers screening and waives cost sharing, the deductibles and the co-payments. It's important to have access to screening for eligible persons that is free or low cost, and obviously it's important to have insurance coverage. So we want to know the importance of screening. You know, we want people to know that screening is important. We want folks to know that screening is available or covered. And we want folks to be able to utilize their benefits. I think part of the discussion we've had in this session and the one prior to this was just because you have coverage does not necessarily mean that you're utilizing those benefits. And there are other non-financial barriers. There could be language or cultural barriers. Quality assurance, again, is important. We want to make sure that women receive quality screening, that they received appropriate and complete follow-up, that women receive timely follow-up, especially in situations where a screening test may be abnormal. Of course, we want women to receive timely referral into treatment, and we want women to be able to receive treatment whether or not they have insurance. Also, rescreening is important. We want women to return for periodic rescreening at appropriate intervals, and again, we want that rescreening to be high quality. The effective integration of established National Breast and Cervical Cancer Case Management Programs. The national program has utilized case managers and patient navigators and has been very successful in working with priority populations in terms of case managers and patient navigators. And also, we have been successful in working with populations that are similar to those populations that will be impacted by the Affordable Care Act. These populations, of course, include low-income and underserved communities with high chronic disease burden, communities with significant geographical barriers, and communities with significant cultural barriers to accessing care. One of the things that CDC has done for the national program is that they have provided funding for a new demonstration project, and 11 grantees received funding for this demonstration project, which focuses primarily on those components of the program that are not screening components. This new project called the Patient Care Coordination Demonstration Project really focuses on new roles for state health departments in the early detection of breast and cervical cancers through targeted outreach, patient navigation, and case management. It's an effort to identify best practices to extend the reach of care coordination services into larger health delivery systems. This demonstration project would run from September 30th of 2010 for 21 months. And in fact, 11 grantees received the grant, as I pointed out a little earlier. Wisconsin received one of the patient care coordination demonstration project grants. And in Wisconsin, we decided to do two major things. One, we decided to work with Marshfield Clinic, and for those of you who may or may not be familiar with Wisconsin, Marshfield Clinic is a major healthcare delivery system in Wisconsin. Their focus is primarily rural health or farm health, farm medicine, some people say. They are very visible in the northern, central, and western part of Wisconsin. What we're going to do with the Marshfield Clinic, first of all, is to provide patient navigation services to women living in the central, northern, and western part of the state. And I should mention, as I said, Marshfield Clinic is a major healthcare system in Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, when I visited with them last week, they told me that they had 52 sites in our state. In addition to working with Marshfield Clinic, we will also work with parish nurses in rural areas. And in fact, the parish nurses and Marshfield Clinic and one other program partner that we have will work together to try to provide patient navigation services to women living in rural communities. The second part of our demonstration project will include working with the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee College of Nursing. Again, for those of you who may or may not be familiar with Wisconsin, Milwaukee is the largest city in Wisconsin. It's a city of 600,000 people. So it's our urban component. And some of the things that we're going to do with the patient care coordination demonstration project in that area is we're going to look to provide culturally appropriate targeted outreach to women in an urban setting, primarily Milwaukee. We're going to arrange for translation or interpretation services, and we're going to implement small group and one-on-one activities to inform individuals about their cancer screening options and why it's important that they exercise those options. So what about the future of the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program? We have 20 years of history of providing screening services to underserved women, but what are some of the things that we can do in the future? Well, we're looking at facilitating access to preventive health care, connecting women to available cancer screening resources. Now, our focus has been primarily on those women who have been eligible for our program. But with the demonstration project and looking to the future, obviously we can look to women who may not necessarily be eligible for our program. They may be eligible for the expanded Medicaid program, even Medicare. So that's going to be very important. Educating all women about the need for life-saving cancer screening and the importance of early detection will be something else that we will be able to do for the future. Addressing cultural, language, literacy, transportation, and other financial barriers faced by medically underserved women. Improving the public health infrastructure and coordination of care. Assuring and monitoring quality cancer screening and follow-up services. Facilitating the transition of women served to enroll in health insurance and connect them to a provider system. Assisting women to navigate the healthcare system. Again, as I mentioned, we are implementing a patient navigation program as part of our patient care coordination demonstration project. Conducting, tracking, and surveillance to monitor quality, screening coverage, and evaluate cancer screening efforts. And ensuring needed care and associated costs are covered and affordable. These are some of the things that we're looking at. We'd like for you to give the future of our program some thoughts as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. We will have time later. But again, an example of here's a program that's been oriented toward low-income, under or uninsured women. But what is the application of this when we have more insured people? And what is, how can we, through health reform and health information exchange, improve our services to these folks who are disenfranchised? Forester County did a study of low-income women and found when they asked women to self-report if they were up to date when they had their last pap smear, when they had their last cervical cancer, only 67% of the time when they reported they were up to date on their pap smears was it true when they looked at the claims. And with mammograms, only 77% of the time when they reported they were up to date and had pap smear, mammogram in the recommended period of time, was that true? Only 77% of the time. So our self-reporting is quite inaccurate. Think how much better it will be when we have access to the claims data. And not only do we have to ask, but we can proactively go in there and do claims run to say, show me all the women in the target age range who haven't had a cervical cancer screening in the last 3 years or mammogram in the last 2 years. So we can get a lot better at this. On the other side, on the commercial side, there was a, and I won't say who it is because someone was in the room from that organization recently, but a very well-respected prepaid health system that randomized to three groups. One was usual care, one was in-office aggressively recommending mammograms and pap smears, and the other was outreach, where they prospectively went out with phone calls and letters to women. In the usual care, only 19% of the women remained current with their screening. In the provider aggressive outreach, only 26% were current, and they got up to 40% in those groups that they went after, targeted phone calls and letters. So we have a long way to go, even in the insured population, to make sure people get the clinical services that they should be getting. So there's a real opportunity for us here.